Now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Eddie Shilton.
And I'm Mont Arby Fenchurch. I nearly forgot my name. on today's show, the Dubai queer scene.
Steph chats to a listener about the current climate there. And of course, the one and only Bristol Pride.
It's needed more than ever these days, but it's never easy to put on. Darren Carter is live in the studio with us.
All that and a lot more coming today right here on Shout Out. Dum-dum-dum. I'll do it because she's not here, and you two haven't done it the last few weeks. So, hello all. How are we all?
Hello. Oh, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, not bad.
Hey, I've spent 3 hours today having my face poked with pins. And
oh, right. So I thought it was a suntan, though.
And nearly. What a gorgeous day. Fantastic.
So, it has been nice, isn't it? Have you been out in it? I was stuck indoors all day. It's rather annoying.
Yeah, one day I walked the dogs.
You walked the dogs?
Yeah. Well, you got to do that. Well, you know, we all got the things we got to do. Yeah.
No. I suppose it depends. Did you go somewhere nice to walk the dogs, or did you
Vassals
just
Park?
It? Oh, okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Bristol has got loads of green areas. That's amazing thing about the city.
Yes.
Yeah, you're never far away from a park.
No, that's actually very true. I never thought about that.
Yeah.
So I like the one with the big tower. Is it Cabot? Tall one you can see, it's halfway up past College Green.
Oh, it's Cabot's Tower.
Is it?
Yeah,
Brandon Hill, yeah, that's
Brandon
it.
Brandon Hill.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you got the other one. What's the other tower? They had a bit of a problem. What's the other tower on the other side?
Do you mean the telecoms tower place?
No. That's back of Vassal.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a rather weird construction, that telecoms tower.
As you can tell, we all know Bristol.
I've only been here like 30 years. You know?
we all live in a little pod zones, don't we? You move into an area and you know it really well. It's like, I don't know the south of the river very well.
No?
No, I also am amazed. It's like, I know.
You sound like a Londoner when you say that. They're like, oh, south of the river.
But it's true. It's true.
So, and what was it we were talking about earlier? Sayings that you say wrong.
Oh, I never say anything wrong.
And what was it, the one that annoyed you? I could care less.
I could care less. That gets me every time because it means exactly the opposite of what it says. I couldn't care less.
And apology, we did do it, but you reckon on air me and Steph were saying atypical when we meant typical.
I think you might have been, yeah. So
the grammar police are out.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise us. So there were some that I'd never thought of. Chester drawers.
Yeah, that's
I mean, I've heard of a chest of drawers.
Yeah, it's up in the northwest.
Is that what is it? So one I have heard for all intensive purposes. A lot of people genuinely think that's right, but it's not. It's for all intents and purposes.
I'm Scottish, and I even know that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And could you be more specific about that, please?
Statue of limitations.
Statute.
That's in New York.
Yeah. So I could care less. We've done that one. I didn't know. Apparently, in America, they say washing machine. I think that's more because it's from Washington. and this made us laugh, didn't it? Suppository of information.
Ouch.
Apparently.
Depository, isn't it?
It's repository.
It's a USB where the sun doesn't shine.
Yeah. Fall by the wayside.
Wayside?
Yeah, wayside is the actual one. Circumvent the globe.
Avoid it.
Not circumcise the globe.
No, it should be circumnavigate the globe. What's that one? Self-depreciating.
Self-depreciate. That's my bank account.
So it should be self-deprecating. Oh, I'm one that this drives me out. And I think it even made it into the actual dictionary in the end, didn't it? Irregardless. No such word as irregardless. It's just regardless. But if you're a Family Guy fan, you will know that one very well. They did the entire episode on that. It drove everyone up the wall.
I'll tell you a word that I found that's crept into the English language that I'm not sure was ever needed. Incentivize. What's wrong with encourage?
Well, incentivize is to, to incentivize is to actually give a reward for doing, whereas to encourage is just to
praise.
Yeah,
encourage, cajole.
But we never used to have that word back in the old
you'd
days.
Just be an scapegoat then, can't you?
Program,
We got Pat Show coming up and some really good news. We're going to find out lots about Pride later as well. Well, hopefully we'll find out lots about Pride.
Yeah, and people got to get behind it this year.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's really important. We all support
If we start talking about it now, we'll literally do a 50-minute show on it. Because
I think that's what it deserves.
Well, probably, yeah. So, but we're going to find out, first of all, a little bit more about Dubai and the Middle East and being gay and kind of, especially with the war breaking out. Not such a nice one, this one, but worth hearing. So have a listen to this. This is Steph talking to Noah.
Now, unless you've had your head buried in sand, all of us will know what's happening in the Middle East when Israel and the US started bombing Iran. But that is spreading, and Iran has been bombing all its neighbours, including Dubai, where our next guest is, Noor. But Noor's family are actually in southern Lebanon, which is being attacked by the IDF. Noor, welcome to Shout Out.
Good guys, how are you?
I think we're a bit safer than what you are at the moment, my love. So give us a quick update of what is actually happening in southern Lebanon, where your family is.
So the IDF have been like bombing Lebanon for the past months, for a while, but now it's been going on to be more extreme, and they're like taking lots of parts of the land and going in and bombing on several on daily basis, several places at the same time, and not informing people. So it's been like stressful to see that.
Now, you've grown up with a feeling of gender dysphoria, you're a trans man. Tell us what that was like growing up in the south of Lebanon.
So it was confusing at first because there was no one like me. People are not openly queer till I started university and started seeing more queer people or gay, trans or whatever. It's not very safe to be out for everyone, or not everyone would accept you, especially maybe family members, they don't quite understand. So for a lot of years I was out only to myself or close friends and secretly without my close circle or family knowing.
So you've moved now for work and you're in Dubai. Is that a better atmosphere for being queer?
It depends who you befriend or where you work. So the community here is big and it's very multicultural. There's people from different places, queer people, so it's quite nice to see in that sense. And I was lucky to be in a company where they respect and they see you as a human, and they don't care what's your gender orientation or sexuality. So they know about me and they're very supportive, which I'm very grateful for.
Do your family know about you now?
Not all of them. My siblings know. We don't, I don't talk about it with all of them. They kind of got used to it and we don't speak about it. My other parts of the family, extended family, not all of them know. It's hard to come out to all of them, and I have a big family, so it's very stressful to do that again and again. So I decide, I choose, I would rather not to do that.
Now, going back to the war, how is that impacting your personal life in Dubai? Are you restricted your movements?
We've been working from home now for 3 weeks, and everyone can move on their own decision or responsibility, but sometimes they do send us those alerts when there's interceptions happening in the sky, so we stay indoors most of the time. And it's quite stressful because I've stopped doing lots of stuff, in terms exercising, running, or camping. mostly at home doing art and working.
But you're still keeping in touch with your family in Lebanon?
Yeah, we talk every day. I check on them like morning, day, or whenever a hit happens. So I call them.
Noor, thank you so much for joining us on Shout Out and sharing just a tiny little bit of your story, and especially in these stressful times.
Of course.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
Oh, you're a fan of this one then, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
That's Sister Sledge and We Are Family. Purposely picked because they're performing at Pride this year.
Fantastic.
So they're not everything's confirmed yet. We have first raft of acts.
Okay. We shall find out.
Jason
later,
Donovan's going to be there, I believe. Black Box.
Oh, that's all I played in my first car, Black Box.
Ride on Time.
Yeah, Ride on Time.
I've got it coming up
cassette,
later.
My cassette is absolutely shredded by the time I...
So it's lasted. It's one of those, isn't it? It's a bit like ABBA. I mean, everyone still listens to ABBA even now, and that was 70s. Mm. Ride on Time by Black Box is still a huge hit. People still play it all the time. Or am I just being really old and I just hear it loads? I don't know.
My kids would tell you you're old, I reckon.
Yeah, but I bet if you played it, they'd know it.
Oh, they do know it. Because a lot of music's now used in game design. When people play games, they listen to music. And a lot of the music is slightly older.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, although my kids are into K-pop.
So they did quite well recently, K-pop, didn't they?
Well, there's loads of different K-pop bands. There's a queer K-pop band, first of its kind. It was in London last month.
The film I think I'm on about was at the BAFTAs.
Demons.
Yeah.
Something rather.
We showed our age.
My daughter would be so ashamed of me, honestly.
So yeah. My other half watched it. He said it was a really, really good film. And we play the music on the show and everyone's like, oh, that's really good.
Yeah. Honestly, you need a pair of decent... I mean, I'm showing my age now. You need a decent set of earplugs when you go there. The screaming is just...
You're showing your age.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I went to Manchester for my daughter.
I bet if you went to ABBA Voyage, you'd be screaming at the front.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
So, have either of you been to the ABBA Voyage? I haven't.
No.
Does it appeal? Would you go see it?
I think I probably would. Yeah. Give it a try.
My parents have done it, so it's really good. Unless apparently you're very side on, it's very, very realistic because it's not, it's projected, isn't it?
Oh, okay.
And the like. So, well, funnily enough, ABBA a little bit too old to be performing every night on the stage these days.
Yeah.
So.
That's my childhood, that is.
What, ABBA?
ABBA.
Yeah. But things go round in circles. Have you noticed?
That was first time round, honestly.
It's like when I was a teenager, the baggier your jeans were, the better, for as one example. And
was
now,
that hanging below your?
No, as in like as well? Well, not just that. No, I don't mean like hanging off. I mean as in like not tight jeans. They were baggy jeans.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, that'll never come back into fashion. Apparently, it's now the thing.
I've been through about four cycles of baggy tight. I'm too old to change.
Are you still talking clothes?
Budumch. jeans.
And they've gone through a phase where it's all hair at the front, isn't it? The guy's like a big, like, lot of hair
depends.
On the front.
It depends. My son's a rugby player, so it's all mullets.
Oh, is it? Oh, God. Good Lord.
But that's a rugby thing, I think.
Is it?
Yeah.
So are they all running around a field with mullets? Is this what you're telling us?
Yeah, it was never trendy the first time round.
No.
Kevin Keegan mullets, you know, the tight perm in the back with a side shaved.
It's funny the things we do for fashion. I remember when I was getting baggy jeans when I was a teenager, my mum was like, that's so odd. When jeans first came out, we'd sit in the bath in them to shrink them. So they were super tight against your legs. I'm like, really?
They're pre-washed, aren't they?
I think these days, they're pre-shrunk, aren't they?
Yeah.
So... I don't know. Anyway, should we get some news headlines? It's you and me.
It's
again.
Me. Yeah. We might get it right one time.
Apologies in advance.
Shout Out.
This is Shoutout News, the 19th of March, 2026.
The European Union Court of Justice has delivered a landmark judgment requiring member states to recognise the gender identity of transgender citizens when it is essential for their right to free movement. The case involves a Bulgarian trans woman living in Italy who had been denied legal gender recognition for nearly a decade. The court ruled that failing to provide clear and effective procedures for gender recognition undermines dignity, freedom, and the functioning of EU citizenship. Advocacy groups have welcomed the decision as a major step forward, saying it gives the European Commission a strong basis to act against states that continue to block recognition. While the ruling does not apply to the UK, it marks a significant moment for trans rights across Europe.
Around 50 activists from the Peter Thatchell Foundation and partner groups protested outside Westminster Abbey during this year's Commonwealth Day service. They called on the King to apologise for the imposition of anti-LGBT laws across the British Empire, laws that still criminalise same-sex relationships in 29 Commonwealth countries today. Campaigners from Uganda, Bangladesh and other nations stressed that the laws were not indigenous traditions but colonial imports. They marched to Buckingham Palace to deliver a letter urging the King, as head of the Commonwealth, to speak out for equality and acknowledge the historical harm caused.
Health Secretary Wes Streeting is facing questions over whether a letter from a senior doctor, later removed from a major study for expressing gender-critical views, was the sole reason for pausing the planned Pathways trial into puberty blockers. The Good Law Project says the Department of Health halted a £10 million study after receiving concerns from Professor Jacob George, who was subsequently removed from involvement when social media posts emerged endorsing gender-critical positions. Some clinicians have criticised the pause, saying it appears to concede to political pressure rather than prioritise young people's safety.
A new analysis from Who Do MPs Follow shows that around a third of Labour MPs follow J.K. Rowling on X, despite her widely criticised gender-critical commentary. This data, reported by the Pink News, has raised questions about the party's internal culture at a time when trans communities are already facing heightened anxiety, particularly following the NHS England's halt on new gender-affirming treatments for under-18s. That anxiety was echoed this week by a UK-based trans Muslim woman who spoke publicly about her right to live safely and without fear. She described the pressure of navigating both Islamophobia and transphobia and the growing worry that political hostility could affect not only young people's healthcare but the rights of adults as well. Her testimony has resonated widely, highlighting the need for dignity, protection and inclusive community spaces. But there are strong signals of solidarity. The Green Party has reiterated its unequivocal support for trans people, stating that trans rights are human rights and that access to healthcare, legal recognition and safety must be protected. Their clarity has been welcomed by LGBT organisations who say political support is vital at a time when many trans people feel under siege. That message of hope was echoed at last week's trans-led concert in support of Good Law Project. Musicians, activists and allies came together to celebrate trans joy and resilience, raising funds for ongoing legal challenges and reminding communities that support remains strong, organised and deeply rooted.
In the United States, New York City is set to establish its first mayor's office for LGBT plus affairs. Mayor Zoran Mamdani will sign the executive order at the Brooklyn Community Pride Center, appointing attorney Taylor Brown as the office's first director and the first transgender person to lead a New York City agency. The mayor said the city will refuse to deny health care, safety or dignity to anyone on the basis of their identity.
And finally, Eid Mubarak is all our Eid Mubarak to all our LGBTQ Muslim listeners, their friends and their family, as we mark the end of Ramadan. We wish you hope and happiness at this special time of year. And to LGBT pagans, we have passed the venereal equinox, the moment when daylight begins to outweigh darkness. We wish you many blessings.
That's it for this week's news. We'll be back with more next time. But in the meantime, you can explore our website for more stories and where you can find out plenty more about queer life as well. We're at shoutoutradio.lgbt. For Shoutout News, has been Andy Shilton
and Tara Fraser.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
For more information about Shout Out Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
Cause you're right on time. I could see you singing along with that.
Well, I used to scream at the top of my lungs out my little yellow mini bombing along the motorway.
I think all four of us would enjoy that one, wouldn't we? So,
you wouldn't enjoy my driving when I was just 17, honestly.
Well, with that song going,
yeah.
So, yeah, it does bring back a few memories, doesn't it? So,
I don't know. I wasn't born when that came out.
Oh, yeah, right. What year did it come out? 1989?
1960-something, wasn't it?
So, anyway, next bit, we're going to be talking about Bristol Pride, which we've been desperately trying to talk to you for the last few weeks. But it's lovely to have you here at last. Well, yeah, I'm back on your feet.
Yeah.
So, how are you?
Recovered, yeah, all good, thank you. Yeah, great to be here. And, just very busy at the moment.
I bet. It's always like this. It's like everyone sees that week, or well, it's about two and a bit now, isn't it? But you know, the big thing being the Saturday.
Yeah.
And they don't realise it's over a year that you're
I'm already booking people for next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's over a year. Yeah. More than a year. Can it be more than a year's work? Yeah, it is. You know, it's a really big thing now. It's a lot of work and planning, and you know, yes, there's the day, it's 2 weeks of events, it's all the programming and for that, but it's also all the paperwork, you know, the health and safety side of things, the contractors, everything.
But that's going up and up and up.
Yeah, I mean, that's
paperwork,
more to do, more expensive. Yeah, it's a challenge every year.
Yeah, I mean, we do obviously want to talk about all the stuff that's going on in the week and the day and the like, but a couple of questions that they're probably the most ones that we've had asked so far is around your feeling on the need for Pride now more than ever in the current climate. I mean, what's your feeling on the way we are here in Bristol? And I mean, we kind of know it for the world, but certainly here in Bristol.
Well, exactly. You know, it's for our global family, it's even worse than it is for us here. But I think it's just, you know, Pride is needed now as much as it ever was, really. You know, it's, I think someone used to ask me, like, oh, you know, what's the goal? Like, is it to make sure we don't have prides anymore? And I think, you know, we'd always want a space where the community come together and celebrate. But, you know, now is the time really to kind of look back at our roots and kind of remember that Pride is a protest, and it was about championing, you know, our rights and pushing back against inequality. And I think what we're seeing is, you know, this has been many years in the making, the rise of online hatred, you know, the rise of the far right. You know, that hatred that we've been seeing online is now playing out in the streets. You know, people are openly, you know, phobic of anything, racism,
hostile,
homophobic, transphobic, everything, hostile, yeah. And it's a scary place. And I just think, you know, even here in Bristol, we're seeing those far right protesters coming in very small numbers, but
and
know,
ironically a lot not from Bristol.
Exactly. You know. But you know, they still feel emboldened and empowered to be able to come out on the streets and
show their faces. Show their faces behind a mask.
Yeah, but you know, to stir hatred and prejudice. And I think, you know, now is the time really to think about where this could go.
Are you worried about the march, or how people might be, what might happen in the march this year? Or do you think it'll be okay?
No, I think, you know, we put a lot, you know, and this is why it costs so much, right? We put in over £21,000 into making the parade happen, and that cost is probably going to go up even more this year. But that's about road closures, that's about security and stewarding, that's about kind of, you know, the traffic management side of things. So we work really hard to make sure that it's a safe event, so everyone can just turn up and be themselves and
be visible. Well, it's always amazing. I mean, when you see, it just takes over the city centre.
Yeah.
You know. It's also surprised me when people are surprised when it's happening. It's like, it happens every year.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there are signs up everywhere as well. I've seen the electronic ones flashing.
Yeah. We pay for those signs. Yeah. Yeah, but we've got to do them. You've got to have those signs out. Yeah, but you've got to pay for them. Yeah. It happens the same weekend every year.
Yeah.
It's been happening for what now? 17 years. I'm always surprised when people are surprised. But yeah, it's an incredible sight. 25,000 people on the march last year, and even more people lining the streets to cheer us on. on.
That sums it up, that everyone knows someone that's part of this community.
Exactly. You know, we are an intersectional community. We're everywhere. It's about coming together as a community to kind of say, look, we're here, we're visible, we're proud, you know, or you can come and show your support to the community if you're an ally, or if you're just looking at the world at the moment and just going, what the hell's going on? You know, I actually stand for something better than this. Come and join us.
Does give you that sense of feeling like you belong and are part of a community when you're there and surrounded by all the rainbows. And I mean, you always look stunning. You've always got that lovely glittery jacket on and the like right at the front.
I've got to be at the front, so I've got to have a little bit of sparkle. But you know, but that's exactly it. Like you know, I did a talk recently, and it was it's about topping up your queer battery, really. You know,
that's a nice way of putting
That's what it is. You know, we have this kind of, you know, these 2 weeks or Pride, you know, the one day of the year where you can just be your authentic self. It doesn't matter. And you're amongst thousands and thousands of people. And that joy is hard to ignore. And you can just soak that up, and you can bottle it up internally and just carry that with you. And, you know, the other good thing about Pride is that it does build a community. It brings people together. We connect people, like our community area, for example. Over nearly 60 organizations are in there now. And that's about kind of connecting people with social groups, sports groups, services that exist throughout the year for you as well. So I think there's the power of Pride in that to kind of help build the community throughout the rest of the year as well.
So can we talk about some of the events then? It used to be a week before. It's a bit longer than that now.
Yeah.
Are they all announced? Do we know what's coming in the weeks in the
No, not yet, actually. We've been kind of focusing on making the announcements for the main festival at the moment, but we've got a few things on the website at the moment, because I just got stopped by so many people asking me about the dog show, for example.
Yeah, that's what I love.
So I just put it on the website. So we know when that's happening. That's on Saturday, the 4th of July, in Castle Park again. So
always a huge hit, that one.
Oh, it's massive.
So it started on a Make Sunday special.
That's right. Yeah. So if you remember those, we were down there on Corn Street, and I can't imagine doing the event the size it is now on Corn Street. Wow. But yeah, so that's on Saturday the 4th of July. And then the other one that I keep on getting asked about is Comedy Night. Again, we do know when that is. So that is going to be on Thursday the 9th of July at the Bristol Old Vic again.
And that sells out really quickly.
It does. And that's why people have been asking me, because like, I want to know when tickets are going on sale. So we've got that up on the website so people can save the date, I guess, really, and then we'll have the tickets on sale. When did the Ovic said it would be? Kind of in the middle of next month. So, but we'll give you plenty of notice.
Cool. And there's so many events go on, isn't there?
Yeah, so last year we had about 60 events across the 2 weeks. Right. It was jam-packed. So, you know, we've got our film festival coming back again. Harriet, who programs that, is currently up at Flair Film Festival, kind of picking some of the selections. She's already got some great films in mind, including our showcase feature, I guess, that's going to be taking place at the IMAX at the Aquarium. I'd probably get in trouble if I told you what that was. We're not ready to announce that yet, but I'm really looking forward to it. It's another anniversary screening film, like we did Priscilla previously. So I think it's a really great film. So I'm looking forward to seeing that again on the big screen.
Can I ask one?
Yeah.
Is Murder, She Didn't Write coming back?
No, it's not, actually.
That's a shame. That was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Well, you'll be pleased to hear that we're instead bringing a new show from Degrees of Error.
Oh,
nice, okay. The Blank Who Blanked Me.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yes, we've done Murder, She Didn't Write for many years now.
I think they're touring as well.
Yeah, they're also touring, yeah. And we were very lucky to kind of get them from, you know, their tour in the West End down to Bristol last year. But we thought we'd do something new with them this year. So, yes, it's still Degrees of Error. It's the same team. But they're bringing you a show called The Blank You Blank Me, again, kind of improvised, crazy fun with, I think the blurb says, tongue firmly in someone else's cheek. And that'll be at the Wardrobe from Monday to Wednesday, 4th, 5th and 6th of July.
Cool.
If I've got those dates right.
Cool. can we talk about money? Because I know it's a really big, important thing, because there's been so many prides going under, and you're fighting the same fight at the moment, I imagine.
I guess we're getting it a double impact at the moment. You know, that I think people maybe who don't work in the event industry don't realise there's a bit of a crisis in the event industry. It's been ever since COVID, really. It's getting harder and harder to put events on. I think you probably will all know a festival that's been cancelled.
A lot of prides as well.
But, you know, mainstream festivals have cancelled, and that's just because it's costing a lot more money to make events happen. So all the contractor prices went up about 25%. Post-COVID, so your toilets, your fencing, all those essential things that you need to make an event happen. But on top of
I'm
that,
I'm assuming basically, is that because they had that pretty much almost 2 years where they couldn't do anything?
Yeah, I think it was definitely the impact of COVID and trying to get the industry back on its feet. You know, a lot of people left the industry, so that's a workforce issue as well.
But I'm kind of asking you to answer for contractor. It's not fair on you. It's kind of a double-edged sword, though, isn't it? Because they need to make the money back, but they make it so high, they don't happen, they fold.
Well, yeah, and then of course there's less work, so the prices are higher. So it's a bit of a vicious cycle.
I think this is why you've got artists like Kate Nash doing an OnlyFans page to fund their touring. Live music is really struggling.
Yeah, it's really. But on top of the issues with events, you know, exactly, Pride, you know, Pride then has the double impact, because you're looking at the rise of far-right, anti-LGBTQ plus sentiment and feeling, businesses getting pressure. But Trump, you know, he basically just said, you know, get rid of DE&I work.
American firms won't work with
any organizations that, you know, invest in DE&I, diversity, equality and inclusion. So, yeah, we're seeing sponsorship is down.
Fingers crossed that when Trump goes, that will hopefully reverse. I mean, we don't know, because we don't know who's going to get
you can, but only hope.
But it's a fight, isn't it? That's why we have Pride at the end of the day. Yeah. We're all going to have to, you know. Yeah.
But has that had a serious knock-on effect with you with sponsorship?
Absolutely, yeah. So, I mean, sponsorship has been down. And we talk about it amongst the other Pride events as well. And you say, you know, a lot of other Prides have folded. Manchester Pride, you know, very big one that's recently gone under. And, you know, sponsorship across the board for most other Pride events, some of them are down 50%. We were down about 25% last year. It's probably going to go down again this year. So it's, you know, we're in a position, I guess, where we can't rely on sponsorship anymore. You know, we don't get enough or any funding, really, you know, core funding to make Pride happen. So we can't rely on funding either. So, sorry, listeners, it's down to you. You know, if you want your Pride event, not just Bristol Pride but any other Pride, you want it to succeed, you've got to get out there and support it.
Yeah. Which also makes it very hard, because I know you and the team, you've always had a policy of it's free if you can't afford to pay for it. But I suppose the message is, if you can, dig as deep as you can, because I've noticed that this time you've got a true cost ticket as well, haven't you?
Yeah, so
you've published it. Can you tell us the total cost that it took to put last year's Pride on?
Yeah, so the actual cost for making the festival happen was over £716,000. It's a lot of money to raise and bring in. And, you know, we get the money from people's donations, from our ticket sales, from the sponsorship mainly. You know, those are the kind of key areas that make up the income to be able to put the event on, as well as the traders and the bar. But obviously, you know, people are drinking less as well. Yeah, so the bar income's down. So it is a real challenge. And exactly that. We've had to really relook at our policies. You know, for me and for the Bristol Pride team and the trustees, our ethos will always be that if you really cannot afford Pride, there will be a pay what you can lane at the festival still. I think that's so truly important, because Pride is such a special place for people that we wouldn't want anyone to just be like, well, I can't afford to go.
Yeah. Sometimes that's their first experience of being part of the community.
Exactly. But it's important that everyone who can afford it does get a ticket. And as you say, we've published the true cost ticket. The true cost ticket is £52. That's how much we should be charging you to come. And that's just for what we deliver now. So, you know, if you're paying £52 a ticket, you probably want bigger names, you know, more stuff going on. But as it is, that true cost ticket is £52. And then we've got other tickets £18.50. We've got a concession price, which is 11. And as I say, we've got that pay what you can lane as well. And we just need everyone that can afford to just get a ticket.
Yeah.
And if they did, then we'd be fine.
Yeah. And go to the events as well in the lead up to it, because that all goes into the coffers, doesn't it?
Yeah, every event that we do in those 2 weeks is a fundraiser for us, the ones that we program. And all that money goes straight back into making the festival happen.
And you've still got some course funding as well from some of the sponsors?
Yes, so we do still have...
like First Bus, they always get you there.
And so we'll be publishing our sponsors at some point soon. But yeah, of course, and we've still got sponsors. We're still looking for sponsors. So if anyone works for an organisation that would like to sponsor the festival, get in touch. But yeah, you know, I think, as I say, we're kind of in a climate where we just can't rely on that really anymore. Yeah. And, that's where we're at. Just get a ticket, come along, have a good time. It's still so cheap from what we put on. Over 10 hours of entertainment. Incredible international artist.
Either, is it?
How much is a theatre ticket now for 2 hours? 80 quid?
Oh, easily, yes.
80 quid, depending on what it is. Mm. I mean, that puts in perspective, surely.
Oh, well, we just bought tickets from Miss Saigon. That was £86 each, I think. Granted, it's a theatre performance, you know, but nonetheless, the artists you're getting are professional artists.
And over 250, we'd probably, by the time you count all the dance troupes that we have and all the performers there, it's over 300 performers making Bristol Pride happen on the day.
It kind of puts it in context when you say that, really.
There's a lot of people there, aren't there?
It's ironic because the theatre fills out and we struggle with Pride.
That's the thing, isn't it? I think, you know, look, we all recognise there's a bit of a cost of living crisis going on, dare I say those words still, but true. There is, you know, we all have to be more selective with our money, but I think what we're trying to say is that, you know, we've kept the tickets really cheap for you. We just need you to get one and come along and enjoy it. And it's you know, I think the team and I bump into people who's like, oh, we didn't get one in advance, we're just gonna throw some money in the bucket on the day. And it's like, you're in a good job, you can afford it. I'm not making any assumptions about anyone, but like, you know, just do it, just get a ticket, come along and support the event, get it now, and then you will have forgotten that you got it by July, so it's almost like it's free. And just come along and have a good time. But yeah, if you want to make sure that, you know, we're still here to be able to stand up for our community and to do the work that we do. We work all year round. Our trustees and myself have been meeting with our local MPs to talk about, you know, what's going on with our community, to talk about conversion therapy bans, to talk about the ERHC and all the stuff that's going on within our trans community. Sorry again, I said one of those words we shouldn't say. But, you know, we're there working all year round for our community as well as putting on Pride. And I think it's just, you know, get behind it, support us, so that we can keep on doing the great work.
Yeah. Well, before we finish up, let's talk about the main day then.
Yes.
And all the fun stuff. I'm going to ask you if you're going to let us know any new secrets, but I bet you're not, are you? You've done the first tranche of releases very early this year. We were like, wow.
Well, you know, again, we want you to buy a ticket. So we're kind of just giving you those names, getting it out there. You know, the earlier you support this, the better we can make the event. Yeah. So we just thought we'd get out there and get the names out there. So yeah, you've played and talked about Sister Sledge.
Yeah, and Black Box as well.
You know, which is just going to sound incredible. And their current singer, if you remember, Celestine was with Dr. Mika several years ago with us on the main stage. It's her, and her vocals are just amazing. And I'm just, you know, I know how great that's going to sound up on the down. Sun shining.
Jason Donovan. I was not expecting that.
Were you not? No. Oh, well. I love to throw a surprise. I think, you know, Jason's doing our Afternoon Legends slot. He's announced that this will be his final year of touring.
Oh, really?
So I think it's going to be something really special. And, you know, he's been a long time supporter for the gay community. I remember seeing him at GAY in the early 90s. I think that's going to be great.
I remember watching him in Neighbours when I was in primary school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, he's then doing Rocky Horror the week after in Bristol. Right. So, you know, he's got some, as well as his musical career, he's got some very camp theatre stuff under his belt. So
yeah, that's good, the Rocky Horror Show. It's celebrating one of its big ones this year as well, isn't it? Is it 50 years of Rocky Horror Show this year?
Probably.
That's probably all right, yeah.
So, a tranche of others as well. I forget a name. It begins with the K, but from Entrance.
Kelly Lorena.
She had a ton of hits.
Yeah, Kelly Lorena's back. And I remember we did have her at the festival, probably about 2013. So it'd be great to have her back, you know, Tell It To My Heart, Entrance, Set Me Free. Probably when you were playing back in your DJ days. That would be great. We've also got Chloe Kisher, and she is just incredible. Probably people will know her for like 21st Century Girl. That's kind of her big hit. But, you know, she's already been on the cover of Rolling Stone. She was on the BBC Sound shortlist. So I think she's definitely one to watch. So new and up and coming. I think we've just got so much going on. You know, it's going to be, it's going to be another incredible year.
And what other stages have you got?
So we're still kind of programming through that. So our circus will be back. We'll be working again with Bristol Boys. And we have also got a dance stage, in which we're currently actually doing a call out. So if you kind of know any kind of dance groups that want to get involved, there's an application on the website. So come along. And that's been really great to kind of growing, I guess, really, for the last couple of years. And we've got our youth area and family. So kind of lots going on. To kind of get involved with lots of different areas around the festival. We're just kind of trying to keep it exciting. More shade, more seating.
Up on the downs,
yeah. So Saturday the 11th of July, we didn't say the date. Saturday the 11th of July, up on the downs, same place.
I seem to remember last year you saying it's as big as it can possibly get in that area. Are we getting any bigger?
We kind of tweak it every year.
It's a nice area. It does work.
It does work really well, yeah. You know, the Downs is a great green space.
It was always your vision to get it up there, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a long time coming, really, to get it up there. And we moved up there in 2019, and then obviously COVID kind of happened. And I think it's really great to have a festival on green space, you know, and actually it just makes it better, because when we're down in the amphitheater, you know, concrete, so hot, reflects it, you know, whereas up on the downs you've got the grass, you can sit, you can chill.
It can be quite hot there too, to be fair.
But at least there's shade from trees. And we're putting more shade into the festival, more seating this year as well.
And one of the things you do get a lot of praise from is the accessibility as well, because everywhere, whether it's muddy or hot, has got tracks for wheelchair users.
Yeah.
And every stage has got a sign there, hasn't it?
Yeah, FBSL interpreters across the stages, the trackway, the access platforms. We've got screens to help you kind of see the stages better as well. You know, I think it's something that's really important. You know, I think we can always do more, and that's why, you know, we survey people every year afterwards and kind of take on board feedback. It's something that really matters. You know, we want to make sure that Pride is as accessible as it can be.
But again, the point, these things cost money.
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
it could be a conscious decision. Well, we cut those because, you know, they cost a lot of money, but you never have done, because you've always been about making sure it's accessible to all, haven't you?
Yeah, definitely. And we're going for Access Is Everything accreditation this year, so that's been something that we're a journey that we've been on. So yeah, it's something that's important to us, and it's something that we do spend money on, but you know, it's something that we feel is essential. So
on the fun side, Boogaloo Shoes back.
Yes, yeah, he'll be hosting again.
He's such a character.
Yeah, he could make it one year because it was his father's birthday, so I let him off.
I think he was also quite genuinely disappointed. Yeah, he was.
Yeah, we were all disappointed, but he'll be back this year, so we're really looking forward to that.
So if you've never seen Boogaloo Shoe, have a Google. You can't miss him with that hairdo of his. I think he does bingo quite a lot
Bingo. Which I should mention, actually, is one of the events that is back this year. Our bingo boat party. So that the tickets for that are already on sale. That's on 27th of June. And one of the trips is almost sold out already. So we only put the tickets on sale on Monday. Definitely kind of check that out.
Nice. Personal question.
Go on,
17
then.
Years, you said this year?
Yes.
What's your favourite ever act?
God. You can't just bring that upon me. Well, look, you mentioned it in the news, the transmission event. I was there, and Sophie Ellis-Bextor was performing.
Oh,
and
she's brilliant.
And she is brilliant.
So, one of the nicest people we've ever interviewed, too.
Yeah, and exactly.
We've had her a couple of times.
We've had her a couple of times. I actually did try and get her back this year as well.
Oh, did
but,
you?
She's Western, that big beach party thing in Western. She's performing at that, and contract means she can't perform. And anyway, we would be definitely on my list of people to bring back, because she is just,
genuinely nice.
So nice, such a lovely person. But yeah, just a great performer and just really exciting.
Really gets the crowd going, doesn't she?
Absolutely, yeah.
And we should point out as well, we've talked about a few acts tonight, but you haven't released them all. They're not all out yet.
No.
So I don't believe the headline has been.
No Sister Sledger headlining.
Oh, right.
Yeah, okay. So, they'll be closing the show. I do have some acts I could tell you if you wanted me to.
We'd love you to.
So we will be releasing these in the next couple of weeks. But we've got Nat Oakes performing on the main stage, and she's previously performed at Forwards Festival. So that's been, I think she's going to be fantastic, very local kind of R&B artist. And then if anyone watched the BBC show Riot Women, the group that wrote all the music for that show, ARXX, will be performing as well. I'm very excited to have them performing. That's two unreleased artists you can have as your little bonus tonight.
We're down to a couple of minutes. The biggest question we get asked, how do they pick the acts? It's not an easy process.
It's not really. I guess it's kind of, for example, the act that I've just booked for next year is an act that I've been trying to book for the last couple of years.
But is it because you know them personally, or do you have to listen to them?
So we do. We get people kind of apply online, and some of it's just like who's available, who's touring, who's doing what. Working with the agencies that we work with, they make suggestions and come through with people as well. So it's kind of comes from all angles, really. But also just kind of thinking, I've been doing it for 17 years, so I kind of know what our audience likes.
You must get suggestions come in from the public too, do you?
I
bet you they're really opinionated.
Look, if I could have a pound for every time that someone said get Lady Gaga, I tell you what, we probably would be able to afford her.
I think you could probably charge 50 something pound a ticket as well.
But then it doesn't become, it's not about Pride anymore, it's about a concert.
Have you ever thought about charging extra to straight people?
Straight tax. Maybe we should do that.
How'd you judge?
Again, just reiterating that kind of thing, really, isn't it? If you want to support the community, get a ticket, come in and enjoy it, but you put some money in the coffers to help make the event happen for the community. And the other thing we've been saying is really volunteer. We get a lot of people from the queer community volunteering on Pride Day, which is their day of the year. So actually, if you want to be a great ally, come and do some volunteering so a queer person can just go and enjoy Pride and have a good time.
I knew we would. We talked for ages. It's absolutely brilliant having you on. We will be there live on the day as well. So you'll be able to get all your traffic info. You hear us from the march. You hear us up on the downs. Darren, I'm sure you'll be on. You always come and join us for a bit, don't you? Join us from that. Darren, it's been lovely having you on.
Thank you. Final plug, just go to our website bristolpride.co.uk and get a ticket.
Cool, there you go. If you want to hear this show again or any others, head to our website shoutoutradio.lgbt. From myself and the rest of the team, the lovely Darren, say bye-bye everyone.
Bye.
Shout out LGBT radio for you.